As I've mentioned in previous weeks, we have the opportunity, since we're focusing on Psalms here in Lent, of reading these Psalms in their entirety. They often get chopped up when they appear in the regular lectionary. But the great thing about these Psalms in their entirety is each one is written. Remember, they're really hymns, or you might think of them as poems, although they were probably all set to music at some point. And they have a certain ebb and flow and order to them. And not reading them in their entirety is like cutting out, you know, the third and fifth verse of a hymn that some author has put together with a, you know, that builds upon itself, and you cut out these pieces. So this is one of those psalms that I think reading it in its entirety, as Max just did for us, gives us really the message that the writer of this psalm is intending. And this psalm builds to a particular message. There's really three parts to this psalm. You may have kind of noticed this as you were hearing it. It begins talking about creation, it moves to talking about God's law, and then it ends with this acknowledgement of our need for forgiveness. It begins with creation, this great first line, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And I love the description here of creation itself, nature speaking to us of God the Creator. And notice the psalm says, not in human language, not in words, but in very definite speech. And I suspect each one of us has had this sort of experience, maybe going out on a cold, clear, crisp winter night and looking at the, you know, the sweep of the stars, or noticing the little flowers and buds coming out here in the spring and maybe praying they don't get snowed upon this week. Or in autumn, the beautiful change of the leaves. We all have our favorite seasons of the year, I'm sure, and ways of getting out into nature. But I'm also sure we've all had that experience, I know, of just kind of being brought short at some point, noticing the incredible beauty of nature and recognizing a creator behind that beauty and that order and that precision. You may remember, I can't remember how long ago it was, I preached the sermon where I mentioned the figs and a specific wasp, you know, that fertilizes each fig. Or I was also thinking, you know, even these, you know, flies, we don't have quite as many now, but that kind of gather up here. But, you know, if you look at them under a microscope, their eyes, I mean, just the eyes of these flies that are just nasty creatures, but their eyes are incredible. And just the fact they fly and do whatever they do. I mean, there's an order and precision to nature. And you know this, and I think scientists, many of them know this better than any of us who study these things, biologists and botanists and geologists. I mean, the incredible order of nature, but also the incredible creativity of what's out there and the detail. I'm always amazed that there are people who aren't just brought up awestruck by nature and what it says about a creator, some power that created this and orders it and keeps it going, despite us, some of the time. The heavens declare the glory of God. All the great theologians have recognized this as well. You can find God out in nature. It speaks to us if we listen, pay attention, observe. But notice then, the psalm moves from God being found in creation to God's law, God's word, God's commandments. Because even though we can find evidence of a creator out there in nature, it's not enough. We still don't know who the creator is and what the creator expects of us. And so we have God's word, God's law. Now, in the original Hebrew context of these psalms, when it says law, it's talking about Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, in which God gives the law to Moses and all these instructions. And that is how we begin to learn more about this God who creates and what God expects of us. I mean, nature is wonderful, but you don't get a whole lot of sense from nature about what God wants you to do. So we turn to God's Word, God's law, which reminds us of these difficult things like love each other, don't kill, don't steal, take care of the poor, the widow, the orphan, etc., etc., etc. It's in God's laws, God's instructions, that we discover more about who God is and how God wants us to behave. And just as the sun, who's mentioned in this psalm, making its course across the sky, is crucial to life on earth, so God's Word, God's instructions, are life-giving to us, God's children. But even that is still not enough to fully get a picture of God. Because as the psalmist then asks, how can I keep from sinning? How can I know when I've done wrong? And what about these sins that I'm doing I don't even know about? You know, it mentions unknown sins as well as willful sins. I mean, we do sin at times and we know it full well. We may feel bad about it afterwards, but we still know it. But then how about sins we don't even know we're committing? We read God's Word and God's instructions, and the bar's set pretty high, and we all fall short. And that's why we get to the third piece of this psalm, which reminds us of God's forgiveness and God's love and God's salvation, which is what we are headed towards in our Lenten journey, after all, the cross and then the empty tomb. So creation can tell us something about our Creator, and God's Word tells us more about our God and what God expects from us. But the final piece is for us to experience for ourselves God's forgiveness, God's love, God's grace that says, I know you fall short, even when you try your best. But I still love you. In fact, I sent my Son to save you. And then we can know, as best we can on this side of things, the God that we worship. And I love the way this psalm ends. I often think of it as the preacher's prayer, perhaps, but it's applicable for all of us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Knowing the God who creates, the God who instructs and guides us, and the God who forgives us and loves us, we end with this prayer and the hope that we might be pleasing to God. I don't think there is a deeper, more meaningful hope or prayer in the world. God, let us be pleasing to you, just as all that you have given us is so pleasing to us. That's our God revealed in this psalm. Amen.